This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. As kids, we're told not to talk to strangers. As adults, many of us still abide by that rule. It's made easier with headphones in our ears as we walk down the street, touch screens to focus on in the checkout line, and an easy pass to zip through the tolls. With tools that promote social isolation, are we missing out on human interactions that could surprise or delight us? Talking to strangers may be good for your health, says Elizabeth Dunn, an associate professor of psychology at the University of British Columbia. Earlier this year, she joined us to talk about Hello, Stranger. That's an article she wrote for the New York Times. We started our conversation by talking about a study that examined strangers' behavior on public transportation. So a good place to start researching strangers is on public transportation, where everyone is a stranger, surrounded by a stranger. And the unwritten rule pretty much seems to be keep your head down, keep to yourself. Now, you found a study that challenged that rule. Can you explain it?
Sure thing. Researchers at the University of Chicago headed out to a busy train station in the Chicago area, and they asked commuters to either just kind of keep to themselves, sit in solitude, as so many of us often do, or to mix things up a little bit and actually talk to the stranger sitting next to them during their train ride that morning. And what they found was that people were significantly happier at the end of their train ride if they actually took the time to talk to the person sitting next to them rather than sitting in solitude.
So people were willing to talk back with them?
Yeah, and that's one of the surprising things. I think many of us feel like, you know, the people around us who are immersed in their smartphones or reading the paper don't want to talk. But interestingly, not a single person in the study was snubbed in their attempt to make conversation.
How about on airplanes? I mean, I'm probably not the first person who's noticed that somebody sort of rolls their eyeballs when they think they've got an empty seat next to them. Suddenly someone's sitting with them. And you don't necessarily want to engage in conversation because it might have to last for 6 hours worth of flight.
Right. I mean, I remember quite distinctly one time I was on a plane and there was no one sitting next to me. I had a lot of work to do. And then this huge guy got on and came over and sat next to me and proceeded to spend the entire time talking to me on this flight. But he actually turned out to be an ultimate fighter. And it was one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had with a person that I normally would never, ever encountered in my daily life. So I think even when we don't feel inclined to talk to somebody sitting nearby us, it can actually result in, really positive experience.
Well, okay, then we're moving on from commuters to relationships, which you're talking about, more specifically your own. Now, you did an experiment with your boyfriend, Benjamin. What can you tell us about that?
Well, when I was a graduate student, I noticed that my boyfriend, Ben, would sometimes get in a little bit of a bad mood. And if he was around me, he would just kind of act cranky, knowing that I, as his longtime girlfriend, would put up with his negative mood. But if we happened to bump into a stranger or casual acquaintance, Benjamin would perk right up and he'd act pleasant and cheerful, as you have to, around someone you don't know well. And what I noticed was that acting pleasant around someone he didn't know well often got him out of his bad mood. So, you know, one person does not make an experiment, but it did provide the inspiration. And so I decided to bring dozens of long-term romantic couples into the lab. And what I found is that most people show this Benjamin effect, whereby they'll act more pleasant around someone they don't know, have never met, compared to how they act around their own romantic partner.
Well, I guess what the Benjamin effect says is that strangers, not necessarily the people closest to us, can perk us up. This is something one of your students, Jillian Sandstrom, tested. Can you tell us a little bit about her study?
So my student Jillian had the insight that the sort of random players, the bit players in our daily lives, might actually matter quite a bit for our happiness. So to get at this, my student and I gave people two little clickers to carry around with them all day, one red, one black. They clicked the red clicker when they interacted with someone they didn't know well. They clicked the black clicker when they interacted with someone they did know well, someone close to them. And then at the end of the day, they just reported the numbers on their two clickers as well as completing some measures of happiness. What we found was that, as you'd expect, people felt happier on days when they had lots of interactions with people they were close to. But more surprisingly, people also felt happier on days when they had more interactions with people they didn't know well. And in fact, the strengths of those effects were very similar. So people got just as much of a happiness boost from interacting with those they didn't know well as they did from interacting with people close to them.
Very interesting. And you and Jillian tested that again at Starbucks. Tell us about that further study.
Well, we conducted a study at a busy urban Starbucks. We went up to people just as they were approaching, and we told some people to try to really have a social interaction with the cashier at Starbucks, to smile, make eye contact, have a little bit of conversation. And we told other people, just be efficient. You know, get in, get out, get your coffee. That's it. Try to avoid unnecessary conversation. And then on people's way out from Starbucks, we measured their happiness and their sense of belonging. Now, you might think interacting with the cashier at Starbucks, that's pretty trivial. It's not going to have any impact on well-being. But in fact, we found that people were significantly happier when they came out of Starbucks if they'd taken the time to have that little social interaction with the cashier. And perhaps even more remarkably, they felt a greater sense of belonging in their communities when they took the time to have that little interaction rather than just getting in and getting out with their coffee.
So maybe not as efficient, but better.
Right. And interestingly, I mean, I'm one of these people for sure who rushes from one thing to the next. I love efficiency. It's sort of the title of our article is Efficiency Overrated? And it's almost a joke between me and my graduate student because I am all about efficiency. Like I schedule meetings back to back. I rush in and out with my coffee. But in fact, what this research suggests is that, saving those few extra seconds by cutting out a social interaction may be a bad trade-off when it comes to our happiness.
Elizabeth Dunn is Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of British Columbia. She's been studying talking to strangers and interacting with strangers and what it actually does for us. It turns out pretty good. How about introverts versus extroverts? Does any of the research you looked at apply to both types of people?
I think many people have the intuition that for extroverts, social interactions are good. And sure, if you're extroverted, then interacting with, the barista at Starbucks or the random guy at the dog park is going to make you happy. But introverts sometimes say to us, well, it's a different story for me. Those social interactions are too taxing for me. They don't make me happy. I'd rather keep to myself. One of the fascinating findings in our research is that when we asked people to carry clickers around all day and keep track of their social interactions, we found that introverts and extroverts alike felt happier on days when they had more social interactions with people they didn't know very well. So this suggests that introverts might actually underestimate the benefits that they really get from interacting with other people.
And it doesn't even require a conversation. It can be just a look.
As little as a sort of fleeting glance seems to make a difference for people's well-being. In a fascinating study, researchers on a large Midwestern campus sent a college-aged woman around campus, and she either made eye contact with people she passed or looked past them as though she was looking through air, sort of as though they weren't there. Mm-hmm. And then researchers trailed her and asked the people who'd been passed by this woman how they were feeling. And in fact, this fleeting glance actually made a difference. So people were more likely to feel disconnected from others if someone, this random stranger, had passed them and looked through them as though they were air. So just that quick glance that we give to strangers, that tiny bit of sort of civil respect actually seems to make a difference for the well-being of those around us.
But it does sometimes cross a line, interactions with passersby, where people can turn into sort of feeling predatory or creepy. Do you have any advice on how to keep these little street corner interactions or subway interactions positive?
There is certainly such a thing as a creepy stranger. So, in fact, in one classic study from back in the 70s, researchers planted somebody on a street corner who actually stared at motorists, and motorists left the intersection very quickly in that version of the study. So staring at strangers is not a good idea. Probably asking people very personal questions isn't a great idea. But, making that little comment about the weather or complimenting someone's shoes or, when you're in the dog park, asking what kind of dog someone has, all of these sorts of things are all very much within the realm of sort of socially acceptable behavior among strangers and can contribute to enhancing people's days.
How about you, Elizabeth, the efficient professor, writing books, writing articles, doing all sorts of things. What have you taken away from the studies? Have you started chatting up strangers?
This research has definitely influenced me. So my graduate student, Jillian Sandstrom, is a hugger. She hugs everyone that she sees. I mean, not people she's never met before, but she'll hug like all the people in our department. I am still not a hugger, so it hasn't completely transformed me. But I do think about it. If I'm in a, you know, new city and I'm taking a cab to my hotel, I try to, you know, make a little conversation with the cab driver. And sometimes I end up having an interesting conversation. Sometimes it just, you know, gives me a brief smile. But I do try to adjust my behavior, at least in little tiny ways, to kind of put this research into practice and connect with strangers.
Well, I'm so glad you spoke with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was our earlier conversation with Elizabeth Dunn, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of British Columbia. She's also the author of Happy Money, the Science of Smarter Spending.